Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
There is a new book out called Panic that is thrilling young adults with a tale of a small town in upstate New York where teenagers play a high-stakes competition in which the winner gets a ticket out. The story comes from best-selling author Lauren Oliver.
The rules are simple. The day after graduation is opening jump, and the game goes all through summer. After the final challenge, the winner takes the pot. Everyone at Carp High pays into the pot, no exceptions. Fees are $1 a day for every day that school is in session from September through June. People who refuse to pony up the cash receive reminders that go from gentle to persuasive. Vandalized locker, shattered windows, shattered face. It's only fair. Anyone who wants to play has a chance to win. That's another rule. All seniors, but only seniors, are eligible and must announce their intention to compete by participating in the jump, the first of the challenges. Sometimes as many as 40 kids enter. There is only ever one winner.
There is also the constant chance of death. The challenges get riskier as the competition goes on. It's sort of like Hunger Games, but set in the present day. Lauren Oliver joins us from NPR West in Culver City, California. Lauren, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, I have to start by asking about that Hunger Games comparison, some of the similarities. This is about a high-stakes competition between teenagers where people can die. One of your main characters is competing to help her sister, just like we see in the Hunger Games. It does sound pretty similar, no?
Well, I wish it were actually more similar.
You'd probably be making hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Panic is a contemporary, realistic novel. And the game is actually one that it depends a lot on secrecy and privacy, unlike in The Hunger Games, where part of the really fascinating premise of that book is how it is televised and used as a form of entertainment. These kids, these teens have invented a game of basically fear that they play in secret, in private, keeping it from parents and cops and interfering people. And actually, it's kind of funny given that it is very realistic and also kind of gritty, but it was actually based more on a Grimm's fairy tale, The boy who went forth to learn about the shivers. It's basically, I mean, it's actually kind of also a humorous story, but it's basically about a boy who in the parlance of the day was too simple to be able to feel fear. It got me started. I started thinking about what would make some people capable of withstanding fear and embracing it even, and what makes other people try to avoid fear at all costs. And that's where the idea for Panic came from.
Well, and unlike the Hunger Games, it is also some of this is driven by the boredom of living in a small and economically depressed town.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, one of the unanticipated things that ended up happening when I was writing Panic is that the town of Carp really becomes its own character, a central kind of motivating force. There are two main characters, a boy and a girl, and I always have to say they don't get together. They do not have a romantic relationship. But yeah, they're driven for very different reasons, but the town they live in and the economic realities of the town and the social problems associated with a town that is deeply impoverished, where a lot of the adults are unemployed or underemployed, is one of the major things that has motivated the creation of this game and that motivates the teens to play.
Did you grow up in a situation like that?
Not at all. Although, no. I mean, I grew up, I was very fortunate not to grow up in a town like that. I grew up in a upper middle class community outside of New York. But you know, one thing that I think is universal is that, you know, as a teen, you really don't have any agency. I mean, you don't have any money. You don't have any control. You're living in the house under the rules of people that you primarily think are idiots. And they may or may not be idiots. I mean, certainly Heather, my main character, her mom is not exactly a stellar parental figure. And you don't have any power, and yet you're filled for the first time with all of these new ideas, with new conception of who you are, with desire to be so much more than who you are. And it generates this kind of desperate feeling of energy to do anything, to escape, to feel alive, to feel anything, to do something different. And so that is definitely at play. And that's certainly something I experienced. And I think that's a universal thing that adolescents experience, no matter where they grow up.
You say you base this on a fairy tale, and I wonder then, what is the moral of the story? What is it, what is the message you are trying to get to the young adults who read this book?
Don't play Panic. no. I mean, I do think that Panic is about, on the one hand, it's about a game where there are very obvious challenges that challenge kind of our most obvious fears. But on another level, it's really about the characters having to confront way more deeper intrinsic fears, fears of being abandoned, fears of not being special, fears of being unloved and unlovable. And I think that I've dealt with that several times in other books because it's something that really resonates with me. And I, you know, I try to communicate a sense that nobody is broken, no situation is hopeless, you know, that people are not damaged no matter what happens to them, and that there is hope ultimately for redemption and for betterment.
You joke about saying don't play Panic, but are you thinking that somebody might actually try to do that? I'm wondering if some teenagers somewhere will read this book. And yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and I say that not just for legal indemnity reasons, but, you know, I certainly hope not. But at the same time, you know, when I was in high school, people went joyriding. People played chicken on the highways. I mean, people did do really, really stupid stuff. I mean, you also have a sense a little bit of invulnerability when you're a teenager and immortality. So I think it bears repeating. Let's put it that way.
When I think about the way that I read books now, I actually find that the best place for me to read a book is on a plane because there's no way that I can pull my phone out of my pocket and check my email or do whatever work I need to do. I can't be distracted by all of the outside world, so I can really sit down and focus on a book. You've been writing for young adults. Are they still interested in reading books with all the other distractions that are out there?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, the interesting thing about the young adult market is it's just continued to grow every year. Not only that, it's surprising, but almost every teen I know who reads, and of course not all teens do read, but all the teens who read, they love paper books. They love to collect and showcase their books in their rooms. It becomes almost a totemic object that they associate with their personality. They wear T-shirts from their favorite with quotes from their favorite books. They have scarves decorated with quotes from their favorite books. They have literary posters. So, yeah, I have not. So far, not only has it not declined, it just continues to grow. So, knock wood.
Why do you think that is? Do you think that's parenting? Do you think that that's something that's happening in schools or pop culture?
Well, I mean, I think that for one thing, it's because the offering, the quantity and number of books available for teens has only continued to grow. I mean, when I was a teenager, which was obviously quite a long time ago, but there were only a couple authors writing for teens, and typically the books were even catered to younger teens, the younger teen audience. Now there are such a proliferation of different kinds of books that to talk about even the teen category no longer makes sense, just as you wouldn't talk about a book for adults as opposed to a mystery or a romance or, you know, literary fiction or historical fiction. All of those categories are now beginning to apply to the teen category as well. So I think that it makes it just a more diverse and interesting and fertile place for teens to find books that feel like reflections of their experience.
What was your favorite book when you were a teen?
When I was a really young teen, probably 12, probably Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen. Mm. I'm still in love with Colin Firth. If Colin Firth is listening, okay, I'm not single, but I will make myself single. Just saying.
Lauren Oliver, her new book is Panic. Lauren, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And Robin, my favorite book when I was a teen was the book Tuck Everlasting, Natalie Babbitt. I didn't give you time to prepare this question.
To Kill a Mockingbird.
To Kill a Mockingbird.
There we go.
Very easy.
No question.
Let us know what yours is at hereandnow.org, or you can tell us on Twitter @hereandnow, @hereandnow Robin, @JeremyHobson.
Time to prepare, as if we ever do that. Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is Here and Now.